from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who wishes he was wearing socks right now. You know, so I could take them off, or because I would have that option. Like, but I know since I don't have socks on, and I'm recording in the old Harry Potter closet below the half stairs in my apartment. Maybe they're three-quarter stairs. They're not as wide as a normal staircase. I don't know if they're half the width of a normal staircase. And who am I to call a staircase normal? This is a podcaster who's not even wearing socks when he should be today because of the temperature. But also so I could say, I only put socks on, so I have the option of taking them off. And if that's the kind of logic that doesn't make any sense to you, or you're wondering what this logic has, well, you're in the right place then, because it's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. And if you're new, this part of the show is not convenient, but it's what enables us to bring you this podcast free twice a week. But if you're a regular listener, please pay attention if you can, or come back tomorrow when you're handed to the fridge tomorrow to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors so I can keep bringing this show to you for free twice a week. Thanks. Hey, everybody, I just want to let you know this episode may have been recorded earlier this year, and I know it's not an easy time for anybody, and your needs are important, and if you need some extra support right now, there's links in the show notes, so please use those links if you need them, okay? Thanks. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you can fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to the both of those, like, how much is that? Is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of, really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for they're all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. No, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. All right, everybody. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the brashest part of the podcast, because it's where I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors. We bring you this podcast twice a week. And I want to thank my nominee for Aunt of the Year, Christina, who sent out 3 different KiwiBox subscriptions to some of her nieces and nephews and tagged KiwiCo and I in a social media post. And that's how you get on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. You let a sponsor know you supported them because you heard about them on this podcast. And that's important. So if you supported somebody recently like Celestial Seasonings or Helix Sleep, please tag the sponsor and tag me in a post so I can try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, like Christina and KiwiCo. Now, the second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you, and I know it's not an easy time right now, and I want you to know that there's resources in the show notes. So if you need some extra resources right now, please check the links in our show notes. And the final part of Sleepy Zone, Sleepy Supporter Zone, is something I support, and I'm supporting the Waterwheel Foundation right now, and I'm raising money for the Waterwheel Foundation, and I'm going to get a perm if we get enough people to support it. You can find out more at sleepwithmepodcast.com/waterwheel. But I wanted to thank Daft Prawn and Dan C., the first two people who tagged me, tagged Waterwheel, that they supported the Waterwheel Foundation on Twitter. And we have 498 supporters to go. So we got a ways to get there, but we'll get there by July. So let me know if you support Waterwheel. And let's see, that's it. Let me check in with Mr. Bart. Mr. Bart, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner.
I am the mystery bar.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Waterwheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a bump.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it as a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. So if thoughts are keeping you up about the past, present, or future, you know, feelings, any emotions coming up for you, physical sensations, changes in schedule, time, routine, malaise, whatever is keeping you awake, I've got a safe place here. I'm smoothing it, I'm patting it, I'm rubbing it down, I'm saying safe place. I got it cleared out, signed, sealed, delivered, safe place. And the way I'm going to get it to you is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. So I'm going to go off to, you know, talk a lot of nonsense, partial words, smushed words, all those things. I'm going to send those to you across the deep, dark night. And to keep you company and to take your mind off of stuff mostly. So if you're new, a few pieces of information. One, this podcast does not work for everybody, but for most people that become regular listeners, it takes two or three tries before you say, wait a second, this podcast never made any sense. So that's one thing. The second thing is, it goes along with this. This isn't really a podcast you listen to or pay attention to, or you say, okay, when's it going to get started? Like, when's this thing getting off the ground with the bedtime stories and the putting me to sleep? And I say, well, we got pointless meanders to get to first, and going off topic and, you know, pregnant pauses. You know, I have to, these pauses aren't going to, you know, these pauses didn't get pregnant on their own. You know, I had to do, you know, I had, you know, it takes a little bit of work. I'm one of those few people that can impregnate a pause with my natural charisma. It's like the only place that this particular form of charisma comes in handy is with pauses. But, oh boy, it just took care of another. You say, well, the scoots, those actually aren't pregnant pauses, because usually it's supposed to be pregnant with meaning. And I said, well, mine are pregnant with lulling, soothing tones and pointless meanders. Maybe. So this is a podcast. Kind of look at it in a fuzzy way, or an out of focus way, or just barely listen. Those are the best ways to listen to consume the podcast. So this is a podcast you don't really need to listen to. That's one. But really, this is also the one sleep podcast. It's the sleep podcast that's been around since 2013. And it doesn't put you to sleep. So I'm the one sleep podcast that's not really here to put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company as you drift off, or during the day, which is more and more popular right now, for a little break. Or if you wake up in the middle of the night, or if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here. Like, believe me, I know the listeners that can't sleep or need a break during the day. And I'm here for you. I mean, these episodes are complete. I'm here, complete nonsense, but I'm complete as well. And I'll be here to the very end to keep you company. And in some sense, that's what works, is that you can sleep sound knowing you don't need to pay attention, but that I'm here to keep you company. But if you're on the other side of it and you can't sleep, I'm here to keep you company too. So it's like a double bonus. So, okay, those are two of the things. The other thing that throws new people off about the show is the structure. And the structure actually was designed over the first 300 episodes it took to kind of get the structure down to where it is today, and maybe another 150 to where the full-on structure. But so can throw people off. So show starts off with the greeting. Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, what up? Time for me to goof around. Then there's business, which is essential for regular listeners. New listeners, not super important. But that's like my favorite part is that the podcast is free and accessible to anybody. Well, not accessible, might be, you know, anybody it might work for. Because you say, this is not, it's like a... it's like trying to get through a wall of marmalade or something. It's not very accessible. It's like trying to find one Lego in a tub of pudding. And I'd say, wow, you really know how to make up analogies that work well on a sleep podcast. And you say, well, thank you. So, structure of the show. So it starts off with business, or greeting, business. Business throws some people off, and then the intro throws off other people. So this is the thing. This podcast is not for everybody. But if you're skeptical or doubtful, just give it a few tries. There's nothing to lose here other than a little bit of time. And yeah, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. But structurally, I just want to give you some info, because they can throw people off unnecessarily. So show, like I said, it barely ever gets started. It does get started, but it just kind of putters along. So the intro is the starting of the show. It's the first 20 minutes of the show, which is about one third of the podcast, with the greeting, the business, and then the intro. And for the new listener, kind of the intro introduces you to the podcast, gives you a general idea of the what to expect, which is, we say, well, it's not bad. It is like watching someone search for a Lego in a giant tub of pudding. And in this case, they were searching for that Lego soccer ball in a tub of tapioca pudding. So it was not going well. But the intro, the real thing about the intro is it introduces new people to the podcast. But for regular listeners, why the intro? So the intro is like 12 to 18 minutes combined with the rest of the show, 20 minutes. And for a regular listener, it's their wind down and their easing into bedtime. Easy like a Sunday morning, as the L Train used to sing. Easy and drawn out, like a Sunday morning where you say, okay, it's still 11 on a Sunday. Can still consider that kind of morning. That's why they invented brunch, maybe. And... So a lot of listeners, like 2% of listeners start the show 20 minutes. Then a large chunk of like 5,000 people support the show on Patreon, and they might listen to story only episodes or the Patreon releases. But then the rest of the listeners, a few hundred thousand people, they listen to the show. Some of them start it before they get into bed, and some of them start it right when they get into bed, and it helps give you a runway. Right, like ease you off into bedtime. Because for most of us that have trouble sleeping, it's not something that happens instantaneously. So the intro helps the day fade away, and you could do it with other bedtime routines like foam rolling or, you know, folding. Maybe you do some origami. Maybe you're doing some doodling or petting those sweet, sweet pets that continue to tip me when I say there's nothing better to do right now than to pet some pets or blow kisses, you know, to your fish tank. Or wink at your fishes or other, you know, wink at your terrariums right now and, you know, do flex your bicep. Even if you don't have a terrarium, you know, flex your bicep and kiss it just in case, you know, a terrarium somewhere in the universe needs to watch a human kiss their bicep or their shoulder, you know, to make them feel good. They say, oh, boy. If it wasn't for that human kissing their bicep in a goofy way, I don't know how, you know, every, you know, being in this terrarium, I mean, it's not bad, but that makes it grand. It gives me something to look forward to every night, which is the goal of the show. And you say, people look forward to this? And I say, well, kind of, So if you're new, kind of just start listening and then kind of see how it goes. And you could say, well, I'm going to be one of those 2% that start the show at 20 minutes and then just get closer to the story. Or you say, well, I like to start it before I get in bed. I brush my teeth. I can't really hear you while I'm brushing my teeth. But, you know, it's not like I'd say, yeah, that might work for you. So the main thing is that the podcast, if you become a regular listener, that it becomes some part of some nice routine at bedtime you could look forward to. And you say, well, sleep with me is like one part of that. Petting the pets and kissing biceps is probably, you know, that's the keystone habit. Maybe that could be our keystone habit, or kissing your shoulders. Like if you need self-soothing, a lot of people that listen a long time, they know this is a powerful technique I've invented. So kissing, when you need a little silliness, that's when you kiss the bicep. And if you need double, you kiss both your biceps. If you need even more silliness, you smooch your bicep loudly. If you need something more gentle and self-soothing, you just kiss your shoulder. And you could kiss it through your clothing, or you could, you know, lower your t-shirt or whatever. And you say, hey, you're doing a good job, shoulder. You know, I'm just giving you a little kiss. Or you could do something, you know, like fake European and kiss both your shoulders and say, wah, wah, woo, or, you know, mon ami. So those are all things you could do. Maybe those could be all part of a keystone habit. I guess that's not one thing. But you'd say, like, and you can't say self-kiss, sleep with me and self-kissing, the habit that makes sleep possible. But it would be true. It would just get a lot of odd, you know, looks, especially, you know, if you were, like, telling people. You'd say, how would you describe your sleep routine in two words? And you say, well, thanks, Oprah, for having me on, but I only get two words? Yep, just tell me bicep kissing is, that's the secret to sleep. But also, you know, kissing your shoulders if necessary, and then the sleep with me, thanks for having me on. I didn't get to the part where I plugged my podcast, at least I plugged. I don't know if she understood when I said bicep kissing either. So, you know, now they have somebody that's an expert on habits that's contradicting what I said. Well, that's fine, because we all know the power of kissing a bicep towards an imaginary terrarium. We found the secrets. We don't even keep them secret. Just people don't. It doesn't make any sense to most people, right? They say, what is he to, this is a conversation. So sometimes we have couples that listen together. Then other times we have like couples that have like a friendly relationship around the podcast. One member of the couple listens, or the partnership, and the other is like, well, that's great that Scoots can help you sleep. Then we have like a lightly antagonistic couple, like that someone sleeps the podcast and the other person has like light antagonistic feelings towards me. And those are the people that say, what does he tell you to kiss your shoulders? Like, are you by? What do you kiss? We don't have a terrarium. But why are you kissing? What kind of podcast is that? He tells you to kiss your shoulders. And I'd say, buddy, if you were kissing the right shoulders, like if you were setting up, you know, doing the chores and not falling asleep so fast and snoring so loud, you might be kissing some shoulders. Sorry, I guess I had to talk back to that. But I say, yeah, it's just something fun and nice to do. And our imaginary friends in our terrariums or aquariums, even the other pets. I mean, the other pets would say, enough with the bicep kissing. Could you just pet me again? And by the way, pets, you know, you could become patrons too. You just, you know, figure it out. I don't know how to do it, but, you know, figure it out. You know, you're mildly intelligent or unbelievably intelligent. I was just kidding there. For human, I put that in for your human sake so they don't know about the deal we worked out. So, okay, so circle back. Oh, so structure. I was trying to tell you about how structure can, the intro can go on and on and on and go nowhere to help be a part of your bedtime routine. So I think we demonstrated that. Then after the intro is some business. Then after the business is our bedtime story. And that tonight it'll be the final, the series finale of, it'll be the series finale of our episodically modular series, Get Bissos, season 3, the ZBiff season. Though we'll also have a recap episode, so don't worry. So it's a structure show. I guess that's it. I hope you give the show a few tries. The reason I make the podcast is because I believe you do deserve a good night's sleep and a place of solace, and that the world will be a better place when your world's a better place, when you're rested and you can enjoy it a little more. And you can have a little bit more rest to cope and deal with stuff. That brings me happiness, knowing you're getting some rest or that you're not dreading bedtime. That brings me joy, actually. When I hear from people, they say, I don't dread bedtime anymore. And more look at it as an opportunity to kiss my biceps. Then I listen to your podcast, you know, because the keystone habit is really the kissing of the biceps. So somebody remind me of that if I haven't started, you know, doing that. The sleep with me method. But I think other people have, you know, then I have the shoulder kissing, also the imaginary terrarium, which other people that kiss their biceps, they don't have either one of those. And the sound effects are important. So anyway, I'm glad you're here. Like I said, give the show a few tries, kind of see how it goes. I really hope it can help you. I'm really glad you came by and gave me your time. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. And here's a few ways we're able to bring you this podcast for free. All right, buddy, this is Scoots here. If you're new, you don't have to listen to this or worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, maybe you had the same experience I had when I tried to make the show, which was like, how come there's not something out there that sees how I'm feeling in the deep, dark night? And so I decided to make a Sleep With Me because I said, is anybody else feeling this loneliness, this inability to turn off, that needs a distraction and a friend, that needs a podcast that puts you to sleep? And so I made Sleep With Me. And the reason we asked for support for the show, whether it's supporting the sponsors or supporting the show directly on Sleep With Me Plus, is because it over 120 hours per week of work goes into the show right now. And in the past, I did as much of that as I could myself, and that was never sustainable, right? So if you do count on it, supporting it, just make sure it'll be there for you. So your action, kind of, you know, make sure Sleep With Me will be there for you, but a lot of other people too. Kind of cool bonus. And if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, you get everything organized in the way you want to listen. You get story-only episodes. At certain tiers, you get all intro episodes. You get all-night, extra-long compilations. You get bonus shows and exclusives that might not fit in this main feed, and you get ad-free full episodes, of course. But you also get that peace of mind and that joy of participating in something. I don't know, you say, wow, I'm glad this is in the world because I needed it. So if any of that appeals to you, think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. But thanks, and those of you that are hearing this have supported the show in the past, thanks a lot, because the show's here because of you. And this isn't, I know not everybody's in a position question to support the show. So I totally understand that too. And that's a great thing again for the people that do. There's people that would love to support the show, but they can't. Or there's people that would love to support the show, but they're just kind of stuck or whatever. So your support supports the show for them too. So thank you so much. All right, everybody, welcome to our ongoing episodically modular series, Get Bissos, Season 3. The tale of Richard Warren Sears. Actually, and oh, by the way, this is the last episode. You could listen, this is our episodically modular series, meaning you can listen to it in any order. It's episodically modular, so yeah, you could listen to it in any order, but this happens to be the last episode of this season. Though there still will be a recap episode. So this is season 3.
The tale of Richard, this is called Get Bissos. It's the tale of Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny,
who once lived on Earth just like we did, but in an earlier time. They were titans of retail industry who passed on to greater pastures in the sky. Well, not greater pastures. In their case, not worse. They pass on to new opportunities in post-Earth life existence in a place we call, colloquially called, Purgatory, which was a very dull place, uneventful, and they spent some time there in Purgatory. Then they started, Richard Warren Sears started reading the news and heard about this new titan of retail industry, Jif Bissos. All these are fictional characters, by the way. And they decided to head to Earth, return to Earth, to teach Jif how to love and many more lessons. So many life lessons they wanted to share with him. They really wanted to get Bissos and, you know, help him get Bissos and give him a hug. And so they did that in season one. It went pretty well until they went down to HE Double Hockey Sticks. They ended up de-existing HE Double Hockey Sticks. Then they said, well, we still need that HE Double Hockey Sticks. So we're going to reinvent it and create HE Double Hockey Sticks 2.0. And it ended up, I think that's how the season ended. That did not go well, though. Between seasons, their plans for HE Double Hockey Sticks 2.0, which was really, I don't know if I talked about this, they decided to take everybody that was in HE Double Hockey Sticks and say, hey, we've heard of Guardian Angels. What about a Guardian Buddy? We take everybody from HE Double Hockey Sticks. Clearly, everybody that's been down here has learned their lesson. We're going to send you to Earth to work with one human because we actually have enough people down here that it really worked out mathematically. And you go up there and help your human live their best life, their most moral, positive life, so they don't end up in HE Double Hockey Sticks. Gives you a second chance in some proverbial sense. And some of you might say, well, I'm not so sure that's a great idea. And it ends up, you're right. Sending people from HE Double Hockey Sticks to be guardian angels or something like that does not work. And in order to save Earth, I think they had to de-exist most of Earth. But one pocket of Earth made it really good. They ended up becoming a utopia. Again, this is on a long timeline, a long time ago, galaxy far, far away. That utopia just happened to be called Bissos because one of Jif's descendants was the founder of it, I think. Or maybe it was based on the ancient, I don't know. But then in season two, Richard Warren Sears, Jif went to go to the utopia Bissos. So that he could check on his progeny. I don't know if it was like one of his descendants, I think. James and Richard went to get Bissos once again, and then that ended up not going good either. the utopia ended up fine, but they ended up kind of de-existing heaven and a lot of other stuff. But the whole reason that happened was because of the, what do you call that, the divine creator, the, you know, the grand architect was out on sabbatical. Once again, Richard Warren Sears, James Cashpenny, and Jeff Bezos found themselves in purgatory before season three started. And since most of Earth, now you might say, oh boy, so most of Earth is de-existed. I say, well, in this story, but you know, when you have a divine architect or whatever, they'd back everything up, including organic backup. So they had a backup Earth called Hearth with a silent H, but I say it now just so you know it's called Hearth. And in that second Earth, very similar to ours that you know so well, there was another titan of retail and social sharing, ZBiff, who had a social media shopping and sharing platform called ZBiff, ubiquitous, that had come to dominate life in that world of Hearth. And Jif saw the impact that the, so, like, Jif had known about, you know, Jif's life and said, well, I'm having second thoughts, and now I see this ZBiff. Maybe I could go get ZBiff and teach ZBiff not to, you know, like, have a negative impact on multiple communities and individuals. Richard Warren Sears and James Cashpenny, like, went to go get Jif because they said, well, Jif's our best friend, and we don't know if Jif's going to be fine or not, so we'll go get Bezos before Bezos gets ZBiff and gives him a big, you know, hug, or in this case, a proverbial wave, you know, wave in the place of a hug. And that's what happened in season three. And season three has mostly been James and Richard trying to find Jif because they've been going through meeting with communities and individuals impacted by the ZBiff's social media and shopping platform. You know, things like parking, SHAMERSs, straws, you know, these great challenges. People pile on, you know, all those things. They tried to deal with that. They realized it's not easy undoing the impacts of a social media shopping and sharing platform when mixed with the sweet, sweet mix of humanity, or her humanity with an extra silent H at the beginning for her humanity. So they spent the whole season doing that. Finally, what they did, they realized this is what we suspected thus far in the last to get into the last episode. Not only was Jif trying to get an idea of the impact of the social media and shopping platform on individuals and communities, Jif was looking to meet with the mental health experts in ZBiff, in Hearth, to get their help, like to come up with all, like, ways to, what do you call that, kind of displace or counteract or balance off, you know, say, well, like, maybe with some sort of corporate responsibility. I don't know, because we haven't spent a lot of time with Jif at all this season. Jif also became known as Jay Jiffy. A bit like Banksy, but also doing a lot more stuff, you know, not just a street. I mean, less mysterious than Banksy because, you know, I got more details about Jay Jiffy. So Jif went through the world doing that stuff. James and Richard did. Finally, Jif, actually RW, revealed Jif's location to ZBiff. And it looks like Jif was taken into ZBiff headquarters. And now Rich Warren Sears and James Cashpenny are trying to get themselves into ZBiff headquarters. And that's where our story begins before it comes to an end. And also calling in remotely, but, you know, so close that I'm going to keep my iPad open on, you know, FaceTime so he can listen in and lie in his bed. He's the loudest FaceTime, even when his microphone's on mute. Oh, no, I forgot we're using Squadcast. But even though his microphone's on mute on Squadcast,
And we're doing a double ender, so I really don't need to hear him. As long as he records his end, then I can edit it in. But I love hearing his voice, except all the, you know, but it, like he can move, like I say, Antonio, why do you move around so much when you're on, like, and he says, I'm not. And I say, well, I can hear you moving. He says, my microphone's on mute. He said, I had to unmute it to, you know, tell you that, but. So the loudest, Zoomer, FaceTimer, Squadcaster in the world, even when he's on mute, his presence can be heard because it's comforting and handsome. The person that introduces our series, Mr. Antonio Banderas. As the ladies, as the gentlemen, as the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary. It's time for another episode of Get Besos. Thanks, Antonio. That was beautiful. Yeah, I was just kidding about how, you know, I was just joking. Oh, Scooter, you're so funny. Can you hear me laughing? No, I mean, because hopefully you're on mute now. Thanks. That's Antonio Banderas. This is Get Besos. Buddy, 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 buddy. James, it's here's the idea. We're gonna go in there. And we're running a reality show, just like we've been doing this whole time. But we're also experts. Yeah, but Richie, we're not experts in any field of mental. I mean, you might be. We might be. Yeah, we're not experts in any field of mental health. I mean, we may have some expertise, some mastery of mental, like, of, you know, I mean, we definitely have the other side of it down. I don't understand what you're trying not to say, James. Well, I just don't understand, like, what if they actually ask us in it? Okay, James, just say we're experts in CBD. And now that sounds like something. Okay, BBD. No, that's, that reminds me of something else, Okay, James, just we're experts in PCP. No, that one's not good either. Elemental P. That's the one. We're experts in elemental P. Yeah, and then if anybody asks, say, okay, whoa, that's a great question. What made you ask that question? I'd be so curious. Yeah, I feel something there. Have you heard that term? You know, okay. Yeah, I'm not comfortable. I mean, I know that's a way to do it, is to fake it like that. James, is it any, like, I realize we're not offering to help anybody. We won't help anybody. I promise you that. We won't use our deceptions to help anyone under deception. I can promise you that. No, I mean, we'll use our deceptions to help Jif get out of there. But other than that, we won't use LMNOP to help anybody except for Jif. We're going to go get Jif out before, you know, the crowdsource figures out where Jif is. And then that's all. We're here anyway, so we might as well. Hello. Yeah, we're here. We're here to meet. We're here. We have a meeting with Jay Jiffy. And we understand he's here. Well, how do I know he's here? Well, that's because I have a meeting with him. Oh, it's James and Richard, JC and RW from, we were supposed to talk to Jif about LMNOP. Oh, well, what were we going to discuss? Well, I can't really tell you that. I got to discuss it with Jif in private. It's private stuff, private matter. Well, you could just let us in. I mean, it's a private matter that we need to discuss privately. Now, I realize there's no such thing as privacy anymore, so I'm willing to accept that fact, winkety-wink, but if we can meet with privately with Jif, we'll assume it's a private situation, also assuming we have no privacy. You don't understand. James, please help me. Yeah, we'd like to meet with Jif privately. We're I don't know if you've heard about our reality show, Helping the Helpers. It's a new show that we're working on a pilot of. Jay Jiffy's actually the producer and writer of the show, and
we were going to be associate producers and also experts. We're one of the pair of helpers that we're going to help the helpers, but we also are in need of, like, we always, you know, we're not perfect either. And Jif had a couple of things that he told us in secret, when they do the ticking watch, and it, so we only Jif can knows the words to unlock it from our minds to help the helpers. It was a way of Jif keeping secrets. So we don't even know what we don't know. But I'm sure Jiffy, yeah, not Jif. I don't know who Jif is. Well, we'd love to meet ZBiff too if ZBiff's in. Oh no, okay. Well, yeah. Again, we'll assume we have a private situation, but we're not going to hold, you know, we can't, we know, you know, you can't make any guarantees, but I guarantee we will have a sense of privacy when we're privately meeting with Jif, J. Jiffy. Okay, thanks so much. James, you said the same things I said, just less effectively, and somehow, I guess it was a combination of, yeah, it was a combination, Richie. Oh, there's Jif. He's in that room there. It's a pretty nice room. Yeah, yes, it is, James. This is a very effective, this is one of the fastest moving sidewalks I've ever been on. It feels like we barely moved at all. Yeah, well, after the hyperdrive or whatever, that thing was so effective too. Okay, just let us in. We'll talk. Now, is any of you ZBiff that are in this waiting room waiting for us to go meet with Jif, J. Jif, you privately? No, are any of you ZBiff, pretending to be an observer? Well, no, we don't need anything from ZBiff. Jif may. Well, no, we are compartmentalized. We only know we're working on a show helping the helpers. And, I mean, I know ZBiff's a helper, so helping so many things so effectively. Oh, boy, helping increases so many things. I mean, I'm sure the helpers of the world have so many customers that they can thank ZBiff for. Oh, yeah, because of the the social media and shop. Yeah, that's exactly why. Okay, well, if any of you want to get the message to ZBiff that we're also here to see ZBiff, but we'll meet with Jif privately, and we're going to assume, yes, thanks. Hey, Jif. Hey, J. Jiffy, good to meet you. You might not recognize us because we've never met before, but I'm R.W. Richard Warren, and this is James Cash. Those are our first and last names, of course. Sometimes we get mixed up because we have lots of nicknames, too. We're from LMNOP. Oh, we did meet before because I forgot that, because whatever you did to us with that ticking clock in front of us and the counting down... I know we weren't supposed to remember anything, but I know you, it's good to meet you again for the second, I don't know, I guess it, James? Yeah, hey, J. Jiffy, it's good to be here, and I'm not exact, so we're here from LMNOP, the show Help the Helpers. I think our teams were in contact with one another. And it looks like, are you living here in the ZBiff facility under your own will for total pleasure? And is this going to be a ZBiff-related project that you're working on? Oh, you don't know? So have you met with ZBiff, J. Jiffy? Do you know ZBiff yet? You don't. So you've not met ZBiff. So you, I'll be honest with you, J. Jiffy, my partner and I, you know, we were here. We wanted to pretend we were coming here to be friendly. But we've kind of been, we've had our eye on you. And like a lot of people out there, we understand what you're up to with the meeting with everybody. You know, us, we're helping the helpers, and that's a real thing. Helpers need help too. LMNOP is not a thing. We made that up just to put a ruse on you, J. Jiffy. And I know you didn't confuse us. Like we also, that was another ruse that I'm admitting to right now. You did not put us under a hypnotic. So any confusion is just my acting and not something real. But we've been following you and we probably share, you know, there's probably other people out there
that if they could hear me now, they would share my concerns that I have about you. On one hand, apparently you've been traveling because, you know, we work with a big production company, so we've heard about this stuff and we've been working on other reality shows. And a lot of times we've been in your wake hearing about this legend of Jay Jiffy, street artist, raconteur, you know, whatever. There's other things people call you. Also, people call you a lot of other names. There's a strong feelings about you on both sides. Though lately, it seems like you've been become like a GOAT, scapegoat for most things. And we know you've been meeting with all the helpers because we run the show Help the Helpers. So we know you've been meeting, trying to get an understanding of different therapies, science-backed and research-backed therapies. And you've also been meeting with experts in organizational health and the impacts of technology on health and ways to mitigate that. We're aware of all of that. And that you were once very popular. Now you're kind of all of the things that people project onto ZBiff is being projected onto you right now. And most of that's not great. So that's like just to diffuse your stress too. It's probably not real. But myself and other people probably would wonder, what are you really up to? Are you trying to... You know, ZBiff has built a powerful social media shopping platform, you know, for the benefit, you'd say, well, for the benefit of the, you know, owners, you know, you'd say a lot of those things. Or because it's free or, you know, just has microtransactions, where's the product and where's the consumer, or, you know, those lines are blurred. It seems like I'm wondering just like what your intention is. If you seem to be trying to help the helpers and help the helpers help, or, you know, if everybody at ZBiff would probably have something to worry about. And I'm just here to figure out if that's a fact, you know, that maybe me and James should meet with ZBiff and talk this out. James, do you want to take over for me? Hey, JJ. So, JJ, if you, I'm sorry, my friend there, he petered out. It's good to meet you. Or I feel like even though Richie's kind of going on this path here that we've met before, as a matter of fact, I think you really remind me of one of my friends. And but before that, I noticed there's somebody, they're opening the door to our room here. Hey, come on in, come on in. Yeah, good to meet you. So you're still part of ZBiff's team. Are any of you secretly ZBiff, though? No. Well, who is ZBiff? I mean, I don't know. Is that like something you're asking us? We're wondering the same thing. Oh, if we guess who ZBiff is correctly, or what ZBiff is that like a hint, or is that to confuse us more? Oh, we'll get one guess each. Okay, well, there's only two guesses we could guess with the limited amount of information we have. And I know Richie's going to want to guess one of them. So, Richie, why don't you go ahead? Okay, this is, so you're trying to put us in a little, you're trying to do one of those things like where you ask, how many times does the person crawl, then they walk two, then they go three. I know those ones. It's called something. It's like a riddle. I mean, if I had to guess what ZBiff was, if it's not one of you pretending, or somewhere out there is, you know, one time when I couldn't sleep, that's what James sang to me. He told me about this. He told me the story of Fievel. I won't get into it now. And he would sing me the song Somewhere Out There. But anyway, James, like I would say, it's a team of super geniuses probably. But again, we don't have any information, so this is a pointless riddle. It's technically not a riddle. It's just a trick question, I believe. Yeah, so I'll go with Richie's answer, and I'll say it could also be a supercomputer, but that's like a actually comes up a lot in other stories I've even read, where the supercomputer is supposed to be guiding all of the decisions. And I'm sure you do have a lot of algorithms. We understand that. But before you process our answers, and Richie's about to interrupt me, and decide, okay, yeah, well, this is a game you're playing with us. If you'll excuse us, we're trying to meet with Jay Jiffy here. And James was about to talk about how Jay Jiffy reminds him of one of our friends, Jiff, which is strange. And I'm not even sure we're interested in CBiff anymore. We're getting to the bottom of it. And you did interrupt us right when James was actually speaking to maybe some of your needs as employees or friends of CBiff. So please excuse us. Save your riddles for something else. It seems almost childish, no offense. Well, you know what? I've just learned to apologize. I apologize for saying it seems childish. I'm just a little short as I'm in the middle of something. I was wrong for saying that. I'm sorry. And if I can make it up to you later, I will. Now, please leave. James, go ahead. Yeah, well, I was saying, you remind us of our friend Jiff. And thank you for staying silent mostly through all this, Jay Jiffy, and just listening. You have a very placid smile on your face, which is sometimes almost like a smirk, but it seems calm or confident. But yeah, our friend Jiff was from a place called Kansas. Now, we didn't live in Kansas when we met Jiff. But Jiff had magically let's just say Jiff ended up in a world that, after we had met Jiff, anyway, there was another world called Earth Raz, E-A-R-O-Z. And Jiff had arrived there and decided to, didn't know where to go. And someone said, well, just follow this gold road. The road to make the gold, you know. Oh, Richie, go ahead. Right. And so Jiff decided to follow this road. But what Jiff didn't know was Jiff was very lacking when Jiff set out on this road. And we set out on the road with Jiff, James and I. We weren't in Kansas anymore. And so Jiff, Jiff had a lot of things that needed helping. Jiff had the courage of a scarecrow, no courage at all. Empty. They say, well, you just stand there. You're chasing off birds. And Jiff had the heart of a lion, that said, well, I must, there's prey and then there's big cats and there's nothing in between. And so the heart of a lion, which doesn't work in Kansas or Uraz, unless you're a lion, which Jiff was not. He was a person. You say, well, you have the heart of a lion. That's not going to do you any good unless you're going to be running around chasing everybody. And the brains of a tin person, which you say, what's a tin person? I say, well, before there was computers, there were steam-driven automatons that didn't have a binary computational system like you will know here, or solid-state electronics. So they really only were really good at one or two functions that they had been designed for. And in some sense, these tin people or steam-driven beings, automatons, really had no brains. They could just do one or two things very, very well. And Jiff shared all those things as he smiles at me. He learned to smile on the journey. And during the journey, Jiff had to do a lot of things and learn how not to have the heart of a lion, how to have the heart of a caring lioness, or, not a, not any, you know, of a human, and say, oh, this is what empathy and compassion are. How could I put myself in others' shoes or better understand things? What is that experience like since I've never been through it? Jiff was able to do that. And so, Jay Jiffy, I don't know if you're able to do that. Or, you know, I know we're privately talking here. But Jiff did learn all to do those things. And we went on through URAS. And we had to deal with other things. First, you know, there was the sleeping. That's when Jiff learned to have a heart, because we kept falling asleep. And Jiff said, well, I'll keep you awake. Don't worry. With my constant talking about TV shows I like nonstop forever. Then we had to deal with these birds that were just getting on our nerves. They were flying around, wanted us to go ride with them, and they were also talking a lot and squawking. And that's when Jiff learned to have a brain and said, hey, why don't you just go over there? I'll show you where these ponds are that are more bird-friendly than bugging us. And he taught the birds to talk to fish, and it took a lot of brains to do that. I don't know if I would have been able to do that. And then we learned there was an antagonist, of course, in URAS, multiple ones. Now, they weren't really antagonists. They thought they worked for a higher being, and that their judgment was just better than everybody else's, and that they knew better, and that they would teach everybody how to do things, and that everybody would listen and understand, and then the world would be great. But they were also, you know, they were, or this one antagonist who represented them, you know, she had a lot more powers than a regular Urazian or Kansian. I don't know if you call it a Kansian or, I don't know, but it was someone from Kansas, like Jiff. And so that antagonist, who wasn't really an antagonist, just a misguided person with powers, you know, well, not technically a person, we called them angles there. This was the obtuse angle of the lower right hand quadrant. I don't know what it, you know, whatever that's called. And this eastern angle, you know, whatever it's called, the angle, that's where Jiff had to find some courage, because at first we tried to say, hey, cut it out. You know, we got a hornet, you know, why you got to mess with our stuff? James, could you take over the rest of the story for a minute there? Sure, Richie. So Jiff learned that real courage is seeing beyond the antagonism or resent, because, you know, there was resent. Even with us, because we said, well, you have powers that we don't have, and you're saying you're so great, that can get in the way of saying, well, actually, this being's more perfect than us, but not perfect. And it's kind of like throwing water on a, you know, like a dog that you think smells good, and then you say, oh boy, it doesn't smell good anymore. But then you say, oh, it just needs a bath. And so we were able to bathe that angle because of Jiff's courage to see beyond FEAR and, you know, the steaming, you know, the small things that it's out of your control to try to see, even though it's within Jiff's control. Jiff was able to find the courage to look beyond Jiff's control and accept that. And that's how Jiff learned to be courageous. And then we discovered that this world was actually run by a genius who had gone away on a balloon trip, or so we thought. We didn't know. They said, oh, well, there's the Izzard of Oz, of Ur-Oz, and they're off on a balloon trip, and we don't know when they'll be back to set things right. And then we realized, oh, wait, if this balloon-based super being isn't there, what if, and all this antagonism that had existed before we arrived, what if we could teach these skills? If we and Jif could teach these skills to other people in Ur-Oz to help one another, because they were all kind of, some of them were missing all of those things. And so Jif set forth to kind of teach people a new way of life, kind of, just mostly by example, but also because Jif was really popular at that point, because of the like, everybody couldn't believe the birds were not just on me, Jif, and James, Richie's nerves, everybody else. The same with the angles. They were telling everybody what to do on this planet, in this world. But soon we realized that that world would have to deal with that world on its own, and that Jif would have to go back to Kansas, and that we would also go back to Kansas at some point, because we were in a place like our Kansas. That's where Richie and I lived. Richie? Oh, thank you, James. So, but that's not James's being a little bit, James and I were also not perfect. You know, James and I, I thought I knew everything. I'll be honest with you, Jay Jiffy. And that I knew best, even that I was always right. You know, I had never learned to actually apologize because I wanted to apologize because I knew I was wrong. And my mistakes had impacted people. To me, apologies were W-E-A-K. And only to you would only use them strategically, not because you said, well, I made a mistake here. And so I went into that world not knowing how to apologize, but I left it and returned to Arkansas knowing how to apologize. And James learned to trust other people, because James was and to loosen a little bit of James's control, if you don't mind me speaking for you, James. No, yeah, I returned to Arkansas with the same thing. And we all had the peace of mind of knowing that Jif had kind of set in place that world, having the resources isn't needed to discover the courage, to discover the heart, to discover the brains or the sense, to learn the things they needed to do to make that world whole, or you know, three quarters whole. You don't have to be totally whole. And also how to apologize and how to give up control and have trust and faith and hope. And so that's when we returned to home, was after that was set in motion. And of course, it was also that a lot of people had been closely following Jif as Jif went along. And, you know, that's how that story turned out of us and our friend Jay Jiffy. Now Jay Jiffy, I have to be honest with you. You know, there's a bunch of people that are projecting on you that are going to try to crowdsource you down. And that's going to happen in not that long. So I think, to be honest with you, I've seen through things, and I know you're our friend Jif from Kansas. And it's time for you to go back to Kansas, and you haven't spoken, which is good. So I want you to close your eyes. You look down first. After you close your eyes, look down at your feet, and you'll see ruby red slippers on your feet. And I want you to click your heels and say, well, it's not home. Kansas isn't your home, your previous home. It's your current home. Think of some saltine crackers and some Wonder Bread. And click your heels together and say, I'm going to be back. I want to be back in Kansas with my best friends some more. Or there's no place like home. But go ahead and do that. Okay, good job. Oh, and there's Jay Jiffy's gone. James, my goodness, Jay Jiffy just vanished in thin air. How is that even possible? Good thing we were alone and no. Oh, the door's opening, James. Yeah, I don't know how that was. Oh, hey. Hey, come on in. Hey, kid, come on in. I'm not a kid. Come on in. What can we help you with? Do you work here at ZBiff? I want to go to Kansas too. Can I go to Kansas? Why don't you sit there on Jiff's bed where Jiff was sitting, and you could picture like you have ruby red slippers for a second. You're not a kid. Are you a young adult? Something like that? Yeah, I guess. I just want to go to Kansas. I want to get out of here and just go to Kansas and live there. It sounds pretty great. It's not great there. It's very, Kansas is a more of a state. There's a place that was called Kansas. This is different. That was a metaphor, actually. We weren't talking about a real place called Kansas. Yeah, but that's fine. It sounds really interesting. And how did Jay Jiffy disappear? Was Jay Jiffy and all of you, are you from other worlds? Can I go to the other worlds with you? Okay, James, why don't you take this one here? Young person. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've been learning a little bit about how, you know, sometimes people create something when they're young, like in their university dorm room, when they're just a young person. They're not even an adult. Their brain has developed in some places, but not every place. And then the thing they invent takes on a life of their own, and maybe they have ambition and drive, and they help carry that thing forward. But they don't know everything, right? They can't see all the impacts of what they're going to create and what it's going to become. And then they get into a place, and maybe they feel stuck, and the thing they built has become something else, but they feel like maybe the momentum's too much for them to change it. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Yeah, it kind of does. And they'd want to get away to a place like Kansas, whether it's a metaphor or a real place or a representation of a real place that we're having represent another place, but we're not saying anything about Kansas. We love Kansas, by the way. There's a place in another world. Yeah, we're from another world too, by the way, young person. But there's a great place called Kansas where we were once from. But we're talking about another place. It's also called Purgatory. We were just calling it Kansas in the story because it sounded good. And that's where Jiff went. And of course, if you were in this world and you created something like a social media shopping platform when you were just a kid, maybe 16, 17 years old, and then by the time you were 19, 20, 21, it was a giant business. And then by the time you were in your early 20s, it was a ubiquitous thing almost everybody used. And it was a bank, and it was a movie theater. And it was a way for people to communicate. Maybe you wouldn't know where, maybe it got complicated really fast. And maybe it felt like something that isn't under your control, but it's not even under your influence. Or maybe sometimes your own influence is mixed, just like we were saying. Like maybe you never got to go on that journey Jiff went on, to discover the tools you need for whatever lack is, whatever tools you actually need to you know what I'm saying, kid? I'm not a kid, though. Yeah, I just mean that in a protective, loving way, even though I don't really know you.
Wait, hold on, James. I'm sorry. I apologize because I guess I missed something here. So I'm apologizing in a way, saying I may be wrong, or it's just dawning on me what you're saying. It's nice to meet you. I'm Richard Warren Sears. This is James Cash Penny. We're not from Kansas, but we've both been to Kansas. We are from Earth, another world, right, correct. Actually, another plane of existence. Are you Zebiff? Yeah, and I want to leave with you. You're going to leave? Can I leave with you, please? Because I don't like everything you just said is right, and I just don't want to be here for it. I just want to go to another world and start over, like at 17. Okay, I understand how you're feeling. I've been there before. And believe it or not, if you think that Zebiff has totally, you know, interrupted and upset the balance of human existence in this world and had it mostly a negative impact despite its spas. Okay, sorry about that. I see I'm making tears in your eyes. What I was trying to say was I've made mistakes much greater than those. I've de-existed multiple planes of existence, including Kansas, no more because of me. Do you believe that? Kansas was a great place until James Cash Penny and Richard Warren Sears tried to fix the afterlife, and that impacted the current life. And that's how we ended up almost here on Earth. But what I'm saying is one thing I learned, other than learning from Jeff, courage and heart and common sense, and using our intelligence in a balance with those things, and learning how to apologize and be wrong and learn from that, and learning from James that you can't control everything. Sometimes you got to have some trust. Is you can't run. You're going to have to fix some of this stuff. And believe it or not, Jif did you a favor. And there's probably people in the other room watching us right now. No, I shut it off. But you're probably recording it, right? Yeah. So you could edit it and make it look good. But there'll be people watching our interaction and hoping for you to succeed. And other people that will be hoping the other thing, too. But one thing you should know about Jif is Jif's really smart and really driven. And you two would probably get along pretty good if Jif was here. But I had to send Jif back to Purgatory, like that's what we're calling Kansas. Earth's way better, by the way, even with this complication. But Jif's already set up the superstructure for you to start fixing things. So all you need to do, like your social media and shopping platform, creates some pollution. It's not pollution you could see. And it's a harder pollution to measure because it's on it affects the heart and the sense and the courage of people, or the opposites of those things. And that makes it easy to disregard or to pass over, but it's the same kind of pollution as the other kinds, and it needs to be dealt with and cleaned up. And I guess you got to take responsibility for it. Now, it's not all your fault. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have an opportunity here to take steps with Jif's help, science-backed research steps with these helpers of helpers to fix things. Right, James? Yeah, Jif has set up a system, I think, and gathered experts and experts about expertise and helpers and people who are experts in helping and helping so that you can start to clean things up and actually move into the next phase, just like where you are now. Don't look at it like a journey that started and ended. You're still on your journey, Zebiff. And this is just the next step in your journey. So you're just like Jif. Maybe you just are on the golden road now. And maybe you don't even know. Jif didn't know that Jif needed courage and heart and brains and I didn't really realize how little I trusted people like my friend Richard Warren Sears. And, you know, I did realize that Richard Warren Sears needed to apologize, but maybe Richard Warren Sears didn't. And seeing him understand that is beautiful to me. So you really have an opportunity to make something beautiful, or at least to try to. And that can make all the difference in the world. Yeah, but I'm just like, it just seems really hard. And, you know, I have those feelings inside me, like you're talking about strong ones. I'd rather just go with you and leave here. Okay, listen, I'll tell you what, Z-Biff, because I'm getting tired and I'm going to lie down here in this cot next to yours. Good thing there's two cots in this room. And I want you to lie down next to me and the cot next to me like we're roommates. And I want you to think about if you could trust me. You know, I told you that story about Jif, and I've learned a lot. And what if I help you fix things? What if I'm here for you? Because I know you're just a kid. You're not a kid anymore, but you never really got a chance to be a kid, huh? And now you have all these responsibilities. Pretty overwhelming, huh? It kind of happened fast, and people act like you should know all the answers. Yeah. Well, I want to help you with that, and I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to go back to Kansas anymore. I'm going to stay here and help you. Richie, and James, I want you to go back and help Jif. Well, Richie, I want to stay with you and help you. James, I'm going to need you to trust me. I'm going to stay here in this world. I'm going to go to bed and get some sleep here with Z-Biff. And when Z-Biff and I wake up, his team will probably let us rest for a few nights or something and relax. Maybe we'll play some games, get to know one another. And then Z-Biff and I will start cleaning things up little by little. And it won't be easy. You know, I'm not, you know, Z-Biff, I feel a little AFRAID too. But I'm going to help you and maybe you'll help me. When I'm wrong, I'll apologize. And I'll apologize when I forget to apologize. And I'll be wrong when I forget to apologize. And, you know, if you could accept me as an imperfect person, I can accept you as one too. But, James, I have to ask you to accept your trust in me. And maybe it's not 100%. So I need you to close your eyes, James, and picture those ruby red slippers on your feet and click your heels together. And picture Z-Biff and I cleaning things up off a beach, one little thing at a time. We'll do it, and you'll be off with your friend Jif. So click your heels and say, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Good night. Eric, and thank you everybody that reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts. Elizabeth from the UK said, thanks, Scoots. My boyfriend passes out during the intro. And I have a companion through my long, wakeful nights, my fave. Then Dreaming in Rings from the U.S. I said, so grateful for my boyfriend, Scooter. Been listening for a while. Most times I can't hear the whole intro before I'm off to sleep. I love if I wake up, it's still there. But I don't hear any of the stories. Recently been listening in the daytime while baking. Stories are great. Create a zen-like place for me, and my breads turn out great. Thanks, Scooter. This one says Caveman Mojo. It's a 1-star review, but I think it's a 100-star review. So let's see. And it has a lot of emojis. The fork is so good. It doesn't even help me sleep. Keeps me company when I'm writing. Living at my grandma's house, this helps a lot. The bad reviews make me laugh. Nothing helps me sleep, so no offense, that doesn't put me to sleep. I love The Mandalorian, listen every night. This is my actual rating, 100 stars. So please invent that in one of your episodes. You should have Google dollars. You nailed this pod. So it seems like whoever wrote that's kind of a cute kid, I guess. Oh, it looks like there's two reviews. So they also wrote another review that's 5 stars. So thanks, Caveman Mojo. Then Grimshaw from Australia said, thanks for saving me. Literally was lying awake for bed for hours till I found this, and it put me to sleep in 10 minutes. True blessing. They don't want any sponsor stuff, though, but I can't keep it free then. So a Battling Bard says works every time. Not sure how, but puts me to sleep every time. No more anxious late nights, thank goodness. Calming vibration sends me to sleep in 2 minutes. Thanks. Then Mrs. B says, holy grail for sleepless nights. I'm a listener on and off for 2 years now. Found Scooter when dealing with insomnia, anxiety, and depression. It took me an episode to get used to it, but I hear him and I smile and turns him into my sleepy time friend. Love this podcast so much. I'm going to become a patron in the future. Grateful for the deep sleep. I appreciate him. Dubster05 from the U.S. It says, works every time. I don't know why. Best sleep ever. Hey, Ambrose, best way to turn your mind off and get some sleep. Anyone have trouble turning off your mind right now? I put my headphones in 20 minutes, I fall asleep. Brilliant and innovative concept. I figured, let's see. Oh, they use a sleep timer for 20 minutes and then just keep listening to 20 minute segments. And let's just check over here. Podchaser, Skellington says, I fell asleep while writing this review. So thanks for writing that. And actually, Podchaser will send some money. So that's cool. So that's great. So thanks everybody for reviewing the show. You could do it in Podchaser or Apple Podcasts. I think a couple other places. Sleeping Bee exists as a free podcast. Instead of behind a paid service, because of the listeners that support the show directly on Patreon and support our sponsors. And we grow as a show from people naturally spreading the word. So I really, really appreciate that. Thanks so much. And here's a podcast I want you to know about. Good night. All right, everybody. Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar. If you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over. But it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's 4 different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a Postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version 2. But it's basically Chris Postie Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense. That's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2024, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleeping Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this, and then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think it may be this week,
the February Fearless Flyer episode.
Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. Weird, the All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky, PI, huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the Mystery Bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad-supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out February 25th. Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but The Guild, the web series of The Guild, did the part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those are episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? In the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too, in summer.
So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do. And those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.